Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sunday night edition of the French Connection. Today's date is the 28th day of December 2008. Of course, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you here with me for another most important broadcast here on the world's events. We have things happening worldwide. Everything is starting to hot up here as we anticipated it might. This Israeli thing I want to get into in a couple of minutes with my guest, Mohammed Rafik. We've got several issues to go into with Mohammed. The Madoff issue here, Chris Bjerknes problem as well, and we're going to address that. And so interesting stuff to listen to, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start out here with the Israeli attack on Gaza. Now, of all the human beings I've had the pleasure and displeasure in my lifetime to examine or to watch, this Israeli people and their government are the most heinous and most vile humans that I've ever been able to examine. They're the worst. They are murdering children and innocent women. And I just watched on my French broadcast bodies of small children and women dead liberally around Gaza. They are monsters. They are truly the Ebola virus of the human family. And anybody who takes a look at what Israel has done and is doing now and probably will continue to do can't be anything but convinced that this country and these people need to be dismantled. The country needs to be stopped, needs to be eradicated as a nation. And its people need to be held to account as a group and jailed individually for their participation in these murders, and their leadership, both in their government and the criminal Zionists who formed their nation, all have to be examined, found out about, prosecuted, and then taken away from the human family so we can live a kinder, gentler, more loving life in this world rather than put up with the poisonous sickness that this pustule of a nation puts out almost every day on my news and every day in the lives of so many people on this world. But I'm going to bring up my guest to discuss this latest round of murder being committed by Israel and its government. Mohammed, are you with me?
I am indeed. Good evening, Daryl.
Nice to have you with me again, Mohammed. You know, I can't imagine what it is like living in Gaza right now not having what would flip me out if I were a parent or a family member in Gaza is to be sitting there and not have everybody in my family around me as I hear the bombs going off, not knowing if your son or daughter or brother has just been hit in a car, you know, in an intersection or at a school or on their way to the hospital or getting bread from the corner store. The terror that Israel is committing is terrorism, pure and simple, and they are the masters at it. Is being committed without any. It's malicious. There's no morality involved in their sickness, Mohammed. You want to comment on what you're watching happen on the news here?
Of course, Daryl. There's no remorse and no humanity there at all. And you know, many people may try to explain why human beings end up in that kind of state internally. But fundamentally, it starts from ideologies which are premised on the idea that the people that they're killing aren't actually human beings. They're not people. And as long as you've got it into your head, I suppose it's somebody like somebody working in an abattoir. If he thinks he's killing chickens or pigs or goats or something, he doesn't feel like he's taking the life of a human being for obvious reasons, and these people don't. If we want to look at the mentality of these people, we only have to look at the Muslims' adopted martyr, of Rachel Corrie.
Yes.
This brave young lass who, you know, stood there in the bright orange clothing in front of the Caterpillar truck. And the guy with, you know, afterwards they make up these lies that he didn't see her stood there. But the film footage of what happened is unequivocally clear that he could see through the front of his cab very clearly. And not only did he run over, but the twisted, sick, perverse creature that he is, he then reversed over her.
Again, yes.
Back over her to make sure that the Caterpillar truck, the Caterpillar bulldozer had really done the job properly. Any human being who can do that to a woman really shouldn't be allowed to have the keys to an automobile, let alone a gun barrel.
Well, it's worse than that. You know, what we do with people who have that mentality is we have to separate them from society for the simple reason that they are not capable of being humane or human with other human beings. And the fact is this is a modus operandi of a whole nation, of a whole people, of a whole ideology, of a whole religion in most cases if they're Talmudic and not following the Torah. Now, the Torah, of course, is being marginalized daily in the Jewish world, and as far as they move away from Torah doctrine and move toward Talmudic, Zoharist, Sabbatean, if you will, or even any of these ideologies, Frankist, what we start finding out is these people move farther and farther away from anything human, anything with humanity. They become murderers and assassins and terrorists and killers, and that is what we find.
And indeed, Darrell, you know, one of the things that we were discussing earlier before we came on, I was raising with you the fact that a lot of people, some people are trying to say, you know, the problem is the Jews and not Zionists. What they have overlooked in making that simplification is the fact that there are a large number of Zionists in America who would profess to be Christians.
Yes, yes.
Who would say, I believe in the teachings of Jesus. I believe in the tale of the Good Samaritan. I believe do unto your neighbor as you would have them do unto yourself. I believe in love thy neighbor, etc., etc., as teachings of Jesus. Yet, these 20 million or so Zionist Christians in America and around the world, which is the number that it's estimated at as a congregation, are praying for the success of Israel and the downtrodding of these Canaanite peoples around them.
Yes.
And in fact, Darrell, this is as much a corruption of the New Testament in the way that these churches have twisted what the very clear words of Jesus and the teachings of the Bible into supporting a group of people who are child murderers. There are Christians in the world whose attitude to Christian faith is as sick as that which we find in the Talmud. Now, and I have to ask the question, Darrell. Some people are saying, where are the good Jews? We have to say, where are the good Christians? Yes, Ted Pike did write a book and did the video, The Other Israel, which is highly commendable, nearly 20 years ago now, as the First Baptist Church of America. In the last few years, we do have members of the Methodist Church and also parts of the Anglican Church divesting their investments and even starting to say, ooh, maybe Israel's being a bit naughty. But the fact is, Darrell, over the last 60 years of the existence of this monstrous little state, there have been very few complainers along the way. Very few.
Well, and you know, you do have, the Torah, as far as I know, and I'm certainly not an expert on Jewish religion, but I know that the Torah's original intent prior to adoption of its Talmudic bent, which is the virulent form that gave birth to Kabbalah and Zoharism and the rest of it, but the Torah itself was based on Mosaic law, am I correct?
Well, that's right. The Torah, the five books of the Torah, the Pentateuch, are the books of Moses. So the Ten Commandments expanded to be a full legal system by which the Israelites were meant to live. And we find the story of the Good Samaritan at the time of Jesus, peace be upon him and his mother, where he's criticizing these people who would claim to be righteous, yet they're seeing a man stricken in the street and fallen. He was a Samaritan. He was a Gentile. And yet a Samaritan, somebody that they, the Jewish community, the Israelite community, looked down on generally, the Samaritan. He said, this Samaritan is helping this man, but you are commanded by God to help humanity. And their argument was, oh, love thy neighbor, but the Gentile is not our neighbor because they're not a human being. So the first man who fought or is recorded as fighting this corruption in teaching in such a way was Jesus himself. He's saying, you are perverting with your hands the words of God through his prophets who have been sent to you. You're perverting this, and you're leading mankind away from where they're meant to be, and you should be helping. It shouldn't have been the Samaritan. You, as someone who claims to be a righteous follower of God, you should have been helping this injured man. And so the Torah observers were this minority who said, thou shalt not slay a life. To the Talmudic crew, this means only Jews. It's only illegal for them in the sight of God to kill Jews. But not non-Jews, because they don't count as human life. Whereas there is a minority in Judaism, in the world today, who are Torah observant Jews. And we can see them, for instance, in the Netarei Carta, where they say, God has forbidden us from killing other people. That's
yes,
why
but they
said,
still follow the they still have Talmudic ties, though.
And this is very important in understanding the schools of theology, they would, if they're looking for an answer for something and they can't find it in the books of Torah, they will look for an answer in the Talmud before resorting to human reason. But they will not take Talmud as a source in preference to the Torah. You see, the Talmudists, which are the majority of Jews in the world, probably of Orthodoxy, about 80% of them, are Talmudic. We will examine what the Talmud says, and what the Talmud says is what our view is, and we don't care about the Torah. They've actually even pushed the Torah to one side. So the Netarei Carta, for instance, will examine what's said in the Torah. If they have a gap in information, they will then look for it in the Talmud. But they take the primary source and the most important source as being the Torah. And that's why they won't involve, they said Yasser Arafat is our secular leader. They say God has put us in exile in the diaspora for our sins. And until such time as he brings the Messiah, we have to live in exile. We're not allowed to dream even of the Israeli state and of coming back. Only the Messiah is allowed to bring us back. And they take that reasoning from Torah, the books of the Bible. So their theology is very different, but I have to stress they are a minority. But their voice has always been there, Dan.
Well, you know, I'm starting to find that the farther we get it down this road to perdition, if you'll accept that analogy, we are finding out that humanity is inhumane. As a group, we don't care about our brothers. We don't look beyond the superficial when it comes to reporting on. I'll give you an example on my French news broadcast just now. They showed horrendous pictures of terrible carnage in Gaza, and they had no comment about how it was happening or the individual terror being inflicted upon the Gazans and the Palestinians of Islamic and Christian faith, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Many Christians are Palestinians, by the way, whether you knew that or not. But then they switched to the Israeli side, showed one rocket that had hit a housing complex and killed a single man, and then spent about 6 minutes talking about the horror and terrible pain the family went through. Now, of course, losing somebody from your family, whether you're anybody of any ilk, is a terrible thing. But these people in the Gaza Strip are losing, they've 1,000 people either dead or injured. We're talking mostly children if you look at a single group. And yet they spent most of the time talking about only one Jew had died, and it was a poor Jew from an immigrant family. And it seems to me they probably targeted him, the Israelis targeted this guy themselves to have an excuse to go into Gaza. Unbelievable biased reporting on the TV, Western press, but that's to be expected. What are we going to do about this, Mohammed, to get this information fairly presented to the world?
Well, one of the problems we have is the likes of Bush and other Western media making, for instance, the false statement to the average Joe in the street who isn't looking at the internet, making the false statement that that Hamas had broken the ceasefire. Of course, anybody who studied this would see that there was a truce agreed between two sides which had expired. They'd agreed to not fire anything at each other for, I think it was a six-month period. During that six-month period, of course, we had the Israelis break the ceasefire by cordoning off the Gaza Strip and West Bank and preventing food and humanitarian aid to go in. They'd actually breached the ceasefire truce because that had been done at gunpoint and at tank point. They'd driven in armored vehicles and prevented food and from coming into the Gaza Strip, prevented people from leaving the Gaza Strip to get hospital access, and people were denied medicine and died. That's a fact within the last 4 weeks, Darrell. Then when this crisis finishes, when the truce finishes rather, all of a sudden they're saying, oh, it's been breached, this truce was breached by the Palestinians, when the Israelis had already hammered it to pieces a month ago, committed what's classed as in international law as collective punishment, which is illegal under the Geneva Convention as well. Nobody said a damn word. Even, you know, against that background, if you stopped my father from going to hospital for medical treatment and he died, and I could get a rocket, you think I'm not firing it?
Yeah.
You know, this is not unprovoked rocket attack. This was a massive provocation, and the humanitarian groups who were shouting and screaming about this couldn't get any mainstream media coverage at all, Darrell. So once again, we find the enemy is the mainstream media. The enemy of humanity is not only the groups that are perpetrating these types of evil on human beings, but also the media, who is totally misrepresenting it in order to keep propagating the situation, to not bring it to a conclusion, in order to make sure that it doesn't conclude.
Well, and you know, and everybody who listens to this show, but if you're a new listener, the media is owned and operated and controlled in every Western nation by Jewish interest. And that is a blanket statement I will stand beside and stand behind against anybody in any debate forum. End of story. It is 100% controlled by Zionist Jews. So, of course, their agenda is predetermined, and they're told what they're going to put out on the television sets. In fact, they probably fine-tune the story so that it gets the airtime that they want. Again, the poor one guy that got killed, not the 80 children that have been murdered so far yesterday and today. They concentrate on a single rocket that hits a single high-rise and spend 6 minutes on it, Mohammed. Sickening to it. I can't believe it.
Well, we have in the UK the first retail Islamic bank called IBB, the Islamic Bank of Britain. And that's a small bank which set up, it got its banking license at the beginning of 2008, Darrell, and I 2006 rather. And I know some of the board members there, and I was a friend of the guy who founded the bank. And, you know, because it's a small bank, they have to use a big bank to clear all of their transactions. And they chose Lloyds TSB. Well, of course, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, Islamic Bank of Britain received a missive from Lloyds TSB saying, if you don't close down the Interpal account, and I'll come to Interpal in a moment, if you don't close it down, we will terminate the relationship and you will cease to exist as a bank. Yeah? Now, Interpal, the Interpal bank account, is of course the biggest Palestinian charity in the West. It has money for orphans and widows, and it's pure 100% humanitarian aid. And there's about £3 or 4 million a year in collected charity goes into that bank account and finds its way out to Palestine to feed people who've lost their parents, children who've lost their parents, or feed women who've lost the breadwinner in the home. Very recently, we discover that there is a new chief executive of Lloyds TSB, a Mr. Blank, who is also chairman of the British Zionist Committees.
What's his name again? Blank?
Blank, yeah.
B-L-A-N-K?
Yeah, and we've now just discovered recently that Mr. Blank is actually heading up quite a few of the British Zionist charities, which would explain why he's prevented Muslims from collecting charity. Now, this has been quite common news among the Muslim community in the United Kingdom. It's gone round all the usual email lists, and there are probably hundreds of thousands of Muslims who know about this. We couldn't get this the BBC to cover this story. Once again, the mainstream media is the enemy.
Well, let me tell the people about Lloyd's beginnings. It was a coffee shop slash, I think, bakery where Rothschild used to have his morning meetings before he went over to the stock exchange. And it was called Lloyd's, and it grew from that relationship with Rothschild to be an insurer and, of course, a bank and many other things. And the fact of the matter is that Lloyd's is deeply into the Rothschild slash Oppenheimer slash Zionist movement, a banking movement and other, as you could possibly be.
And indeed, the current chairman is, in fact, also a chairman and committee member of many Zionist, openly Zionist and named Zionist in the title organizations in the UK. And that man has just blocked Muslim charity from reaching Palestinians. Right now, that money is stuck in the UK. We cannot get that money to people who are now in desperate need of medical attention, etc. It's interesting, Darrell, that this man stopped the bank account just before this attack took place. Makes you wonder if the chairman of Lloyd's had been told an attack was about to take place, and in order to inflict as much misery and suffering as possible, made sure that no charity could get there from the West.
Well, right now there are 16 trucks at the Gaza crossing with Egypt, and the Egyptians will not allow any of it to go through. In fact, there is rumblings that the Egyptian president convinced the Palestinians not to evacuate the police station of Hamas and their headquarters, because they said the Israelis aren't going to do anything. There's not going to be any attack coming. I read this on Yaruknet. And then, of course, the upshot is that as soon as they accepted Egypt's guarantees there would be no assault, the assault started, and many more people were murdered in buildings that were full of people instead of evacuated. So the Egyptians have their hand in the murder of these individuals as well.
Hosni Mubarak, of course, is
Zionist.
Famous in the Muslim world for his hypocrisy.
He's a Zionist. He's been working on behalf of the Zionists forever. And, you know, I'm looking at here, what we talk about, these countries, Sudan to the south. Of course, Arab governments have been using Sudan as a place to grow their fruits and vegetables. And they want more and more of the land. There's speculators over there from both the Jewish community and the rich Arab community. A lot of them, the royal families of the Arab world, who have turned a blind eye to the murder of Palestinians. and they've been running people off their land in Sudan, including the murder of these poverty-stricken people by the Janjaweed. We're finding out that Israel is involved in Mugabe, sending Mugabe water cannons and providing him with his methods to destroy and kill off his opposition. I mean, you know, these Jews are murderers. These Zionist criminals, Mohammed, are the most vile Ebola-type human beings that I've ever read about. But let's move on here to a recent article that you wrote, Double Bluff, Madoff Double Bluff. It has got the rounds. It's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of reads, of views around the world. Of course, it was posted on the French Connections website some 2.5 weeks ago, maybe 3 now, 2 weeks ago. It's happened in 2 weeks. And then it was subsequently taken from the website and posted on What Really Happened. No, Wake Up From Your Slumber, by a kind person who gave credit to us. And in fact, when they posted it, they also included on that post the conversation we had had about Madoff and about why our thoughts were what they were. And so he did his part in promoting the work correctly, gave us the credit that it deserved, and the discussion part of it was there. It ended up on a blog and then taken by Rents and WhatReallyHappened.com, Rivero, and what's this other one? GlobalResearch.ca, crediting Rents for the article. Rents put it into his own format and then added a caveat to it, saying that you are a Jew who knows about, you're a Zionist Jew, banker. And he included that in the body of the article, as though it appeared there in the beginning. He didn't state in any way that it was something that wasn't in the article in its first instance, or where the article came from, didn't say it came from IamTheWitness.com, or that there had been conversations. And it was a misrepresentation, completely, not only on the facts of your religious affiliations, but on the facts that he was the original propagator of this work. Now, again, we're going to talk about Madoff Part 2 in a little while, but let's clear up a few things on this whole thing. And then this man named Jerkness. I have trouble with that name. You know, it's not a name I pronounce well. But anyway, he's also out there now claiming that you are a Zionist, a Jewish banker, and that I'm your lapdog, he says. And goes on into a diatribe about my affiliation to you and your affiliation to Jews and the rest of it. You want to address this, Mohammed? All of it. It's a tall order.
I wouldn't ordinarily give this man time of day. I mean, the thing about Mr. Bajerkinus is that he has on several occasions attempted to promote false statements about me, and I'm also a little bit concerned. I mean, I've never had any run-ins with Jeff Rents, and although I've made comments maybe about him and Mike Rivero that their sites are link-only sites and don't do much original material of their own, I've never seen an article written by Jeff Rents, and although Mike Rivero does put comments on his things, which some of them are quite amusing and some of them are interesting opinions, fundamentally their sites tend to be, in my opinion, link sites just to other stuff. And not in-depth research like you find, for instance, on IamTheWitness.com. The French Connection has got links to books, not sort of news articles that move down the page and disappear. There are books there which are good research sources, Darrell. So I've always made that difference between the sites, but I've not tried to put anybody down. I commend the work that they do. So I'm very disturbed by what Jeff Rents has done, taking the article and really not putting the link back. I mean, I sent it out on email around the Muslim circles, and I insisted that anybody who wanted to post the article on their own site was free to do so, with the caveat that there was a link back to our audio file expanding on it at the French connection. I make the point, Darryl, that in the last 4 years, you have given me a platform very kindly through the French connection to voice my opinions and to discuss topical matters. Therefore, I would expect people, irrespective of any differences that you may have had with people in the past, to respect that, you know, any material coming from your platform, they should recognize that.
Yep.
They don't have to think you're the most wonderful human being in the world, or they don't have to agree with all of my opinions. But it's only sort of common decency that you'd actually say, well, this came from over there, especially when I didn't put a copyright on it, and I let it go out in good faith that people would refer back. So I'm disturbed by that.
On my site, I've had people reformat things into my format, French Connection format, but always at the bottom, I would request the person doing the formatting, you always often my webmasters, to indicate the place it came from. Somewhere on that article, it should be noted that the article's original source was from suchandsuch.com, or it was written by so-and-so. It has to be somewhere on the face of the article in order to, unless I can't find it. And if I can't find the source, then of course I would go ahead and post it the way it was. But the truth is that this was not a mistake, because it included this new description of who you were as a in your religious faith. Now, that's when it's going from theft into fraud here.
Well, that's right. Now, I mean, it's one thing not to plagiarize something and not give some credit. That's one thing. But then to go and add things into the article which I didn't write, that I never stated, and then try to pass it off as something that I've claimed, rather than actually, you know, Jeff Rentz saying, these are my comments, and then explaining the source of them. It's there for anybody who looked at it in that format to come to the misunderstanding. Unless you think carefully, if you're a critical thinker, you will, of course, realize that the comment in the middle is written in the third person, and not the first person. I've written the article in the first person, I have such and such experience, and I've worked in such and such places, and I didn't write about myself in the third person, he did this, he did that, which is what they've done.
Yeah.
In terms of my background, John Bjergnes, he is the, I got that wrong, sorry, John Bjergnes, he is a man who spent several attempts on Wake Up From Your Slumber trying to belittle a lot of my research. It's guy, well, you often see this, you know, Darryl. I see many people, as I've been at this, as you know, 20 years, and I see a lot of people suddenly turn up, make a big hoo-ha and flap, try to get an audience, and then they attempt to shoot people down who've been doing this a long time. This is just another attempt, probably because, as you say, our take on the Madoff affair, which is a reasoned analysis with some expertise behind it. It's not just, you know, an opinion. This is an expert opinion. It will be valid in a court of law. That we've said as an expert opinion that this is almost definitely not a Ponzi scheme. It's a different type of fraud that's being perpetrated. It is a fraud, but a different type. And we've explained why we believe that it's being perpetrated, which is for people to try and claim compensation.
Yeah.
When all these other banks and investment funds are losing money, and the people who've invested in them are losing, here they've come up with a scam to try and claim money back by pretending that, rather than lost money, that it was a scam, which is a very interesting double bluff. So we put that up there. We're the first people in the world to make that accusation, and we will stand by that, because as time goes on, more and more evidence is coming to support that. We'll discuss that again shortly.
Mm-hmm.
But more evidence is coming out to support our initial analysis, Darrell. And what we have is, as you say, several million views worldwide, around the world of this article. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, Mr. Bajerkiness has just turned up again and made a set of allegations. Ordinarily, I wouldn't deal with them, but the way it's been put up on Wake Up From Your Slumber, I hope you don't mind now, but I would, although I don't normally discuss things from before my embracing Islam about 15, 16 years ago, I don't normally discuss my life prior to then, except maybe with my family, for obvious reasons. But I was baptized in Winchester Cathedral when I was born in 1964. That's where my parents took me, because my father was in the British Army, and I was raised Methodist, although my mother was Methodist at that time. She's now devout Church of England. One of her brothers is devout Catholic. The other is a Methodist minister.
Mm-hmm.
My father is a nominal Christian. He believes that the cross he wears brings him good luck, the gold cross around his neck. He believes it's some sort of a good luck figurine. Before that, I remember as a boy, he also believed in St. Christopher, who turned out to be completely fake. There wasn't a St. Christopher, but he used to have St. Christopher gold rings and things like that. So I always remember that, and I was a member of the Boys Brigade in my hometown of Halifax, where I went to what was effectively a Church of England school. But I attended Sunday school every day, every Sunday that is, up until the age of about 16, as I was explaining to you earlier, Darrell. You weren't allowed to do the communal activities at Boys Brigade unless you got your Sunday school card stamped. So I that was like five-a-side and rugby and table tennis and basketball and volleyball and all those kind of stuff. And I used to go three nights a week to those activities, because when I was a lad, there wasn't much TV. There certainly wasn't colour TV. It was very rare for somebody to have had a colour TV then. So we were a lot more physical, and these were the places that they went. And you had to go to Sunday school, and the card got stamped on the way out, not the way in. And also, I used to be in the assembly every morning in school, and I used to say grace before meals.